with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez. Joining me now in the studio, Emmy-nominated actor, the amazing Walton Goggins. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man. It's good to be here, brother.
It's great to see you. We were so excited yesterday when we heard you were coming. I told you before, I'm a huge fan, but these guys are too. I always say, any project you're involved in, you steal the show and you always take it to the next level. That's real talk. I'm being honest.
Thanks, man. Thank you very, very much. I've been very lucky. And, I've been around for a long time. I think, you know what? I don't know if you remember this. Because we've had several conversations over the years, right? But I think the first time I met you, man, was in Canada.
Really?
And it might have been during the Luganus thing.
Yes.
And
wow,
we had a friend, only because we were all kind of getting drinks at the same place, you know, or like
Sutton
having
place?
A dinner.
That
Sutton
hotel?
Place Hotel, like yeah, that yeah. little bar, right?
Right.
Right. Where you kind of would go down and get your salad
exactly.
or whatever.
Where you end up seeing more celebrities than you do in Hollywood.
Yeah, all, that's right. That was a season for that, man.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Wow, what were
yeah.
you working on at the time?
God, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Man.
He was the pool. He's such a good actor. He played the pool in the Greg Louganis story.
That's funny.
I have no
wow.
idea. But it was like 20, it was a long
That
time.
Was a long
more than 23 years ago, 25 years ago.
We're still in here.
And we're still doing it, dude. We're still
yeah.
punching.
Thank God. Thank
yeah.
God. Where are you from originally?
Originally from Georgia. Yeah,
oh, is that
yeah,
what
yeah.
part?
A little town right outside of Atlanta called Lithia Springs.
Oh, okay.
And
he's from Noonan.
Are you from Noonan?
I'm from Noonan.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Noonan, oddly enough, gets a lot of shout outs on this show because they do so much production there
right.
now.
Oh, yeah, Georgia. That's true. I didn't
that, like,
think
people
about that.
Come
that's
in
right.
and then Noonan comes up, and it's yeah. like my hometown has never been mentioned more.
Have you had the opportunity to work in Georgia a lot? Or?
I did. You know, I mean, I left almost 30 years ago. You know, I've been here. I was 19, with, you know, $300 in my pocket and left a Scholastic scholarship to college, you know, to kind of come here. But out of those, you know, 30 years, I've probably been on the road 18. I've probably only yeah. been here 12 out of 30. 'Cause that's what we do.
Yeah.
But, there was a long time where I didn't go back. I used to go back for work. I used to think like early on in my career that location for me will only revolve around Mississippi, Alabama,
right.
Nashville, South yeah. Carolina, yeah. maybe Atlanta, like Georgia. Like that'll be it.
Yeah.
That is the extent of my, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's all I have to contribute. And that's turned out not to be the case, but no, I did not go back, with all the production kind of going on back home. I for the first time in maybe 15 years, I worked there for Marvel. And Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, right.
With Peyton and Evangeline and everybody.
Oh, that's great.
And I had a great time being back home. It's the first time I worked home in a long time.
I bet. You mentioned a Scholastic scholarship. May I ask what you
Well,
were
now, I was, it was, you know, it was in, it wasn't for one thing, but it was for based on grades.
Your body.
You know,
work.
And
sure.
yeah. And it was just to a small school.
Sure.
You know, Georgia Southern.
How did mom and dad feel when you said, hey, you know what, I'm
taking off.
Yeah, I'm taking off. Did you grow up in theater or acting?
No,
or
my parents were divorced when I was like 3 years old. So I never really knew them together. And was raised pretty much with my mom and her sisters. And they were dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional, you know, but dysfunctional nonetheless.
Sure.
And my aunt and uncle, her husband, were both actors in theater.
Ah.
And I grew up kind of watching them on stage. And but I didn't really, you know, it wasn't like my life calling from the time I was like 7 years old or something like that.
Got it.
You know, I really wanted to see the world. That's what I was looking to do. You know, I really genuinely wanted to see the world in a real grounded sort of way. I was very
right.
curious about the way other people thought. But then I started working in Atlanta. There was a lot kind of going on there when I was in my teens and started working, you know, In the Heat of the Night was filmed there.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
and then I did this big movie of the week called Murder in Mississippi.
Okay.
Which was, like a who's who at the time and Blair Underwood CCH Pounder was on it. And Tom Hulce was on it.
Oh yes.
And yeah, it was
yes.
like I don't know, seven or eight Golden Globe nominations, and I had a really nice role in it, and it was just kind of from there that
so sort of fell into it as a teen, and you started
yeah.
studying, I'm assuming.
Then you said,
okay, I'm going to make the move out to LA.
Yeah, I'm going to make the move out to Los Angeles. Yeah.
And
yeah.
was the transition tough originally, or were you able to kind
God, you know, I mean, looking back on it, I mean, I wonder if you feel the same way. It's, it would have been tough in my 40s. Yeah. It would have been tough in my 30s, but
right.
But not tough for a 19-year-old who genuinely just wanted to see how the world worked.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
And And so I look back on, you know, things that appear to have been a struggle, you know, from this perspective.
Right.
You know, I didn't really look at it like that then. You know, it was all part of the process, really.
Sure.
It was all part of the journey. And
you're young
and I wouldn't have traded
sure.
I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. The accent is faint. But I'm sure, but I know you draw on it quick when you want to.
Yeah, it's always there, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker, right? Once some from
right.
Southern California, you're always from Southern California.
Exactly.
I think there's a part of you that remains kind of grounded in where you come from.
Yeah.
And that's a part of your foundation, as it should be.
Yeah, no,
and
absolutely.
Then you expand upon that, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, being one of the most in demand actors, I'm sure you get offered a lot of different roles and read a lot of different scripts. How do you decide what you're going to work on?
You know, I'd ask you the same thing. I love that question, and I love hearing the answer to that question from other people because I ask that question a lot.
Right.
But for me, it really kind of comes down to one thing and one thing only, and that is if I feel like I can be of service to this director and the telling of this story.
Mm.
You know, if I can really bring something to the table, and regardless of budget. Regardless of topic, or genre, if I feel like it speaks to me,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I can be of service to the person who is in charge, then I'll say yes.
Mm. That's really the words on the page and the people involved, right? At the end of the day,
you know, it is. And I would say, you know, it's the words on the page, even more so than the people involved, because I think if you know, if you limit yourself at any point in your career from working with, you know, a filmmaker that you've never heard of, then you're not paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to wherever you got to in this business predicated on somebody giving you a shot and somebody showing up there for you.
Right.
And then it is
exactly
incumbent
right.
upon you as an artist and whatever discipline that is, whether you're a production designer or a wardrobe designer
mm-hmm.
Or a DP. To help usher in this new generation of storytellers. And so for me, it really kind of comes down to, you know, what's on the page and then a subsequent conversation with the person that is making those decisions and asking them if they understand the story that they're telling, even if they don't know everything about it.
Sure.
You know, if they at least understand, a general area in
right.
which they're headed.
Yeah, they got to have a vision. You're
they
exactly
got to have
right.
a vision, yeah.
Currently working on The Unicorn over on CBS. Season finale is tonight. What can you tease us about with that?
Well, you know, first and foremost, if you would have asked me a year ago that I would be starring in a show, a half hour show on CBS, I would have said, like, I want to take whatever drugs you're taking.
I love that.
Can
I tell you
happened.
Something too often? I love that because there are no rules anymore. You know?
No.
You've got to, like, Alec Baldwin the other day, I just he's doing a game show, then he's doing another movie with, like, Pacino, and he's, like, there are no, I love that, where before, a guy on TV couldn't do film, and now, I love that you can kind of bounce back and forth to all these different genres and different
That's
types
exactly
of,
right, and know? I think if you let the story be your guiding principle, and let that really make the decision for you, at least that's worked out for me.
Right.
And when I read this, you know, a year ago, and met the people involved and our showrunners and the producer who is Peyton Reed, who's a really good friend of mine. He actually the director of Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is how I kind of came into this to begin with. But from David Nevins, the top brass at CBS, after this conversation, I said, but do you know who you're talking to? Right. If I do this, I'm going to do it my way and it'll be funny. You know, I promise it'll be funny, but we're going to. Can I cuss on your show? No.
We're gonna
talk about some shit.
Yeah.
Right. And it's gonna be grounded and it's gonna be truthful and it's gonna be from the heart. And we can make them laugh and we can make them cry organically. And it can be, cause the story is about grief and it's about, learning how to live again.
Mm.
And so they said, we want whatever you're selling. You know, that's exactly what we want. And so I called, you know, Rob Corddry, and begged him to come aboard, and begged Michaela Watkins and Omar and Maya Lin all to kind of come do it. And all of these people have all had multiple shows in their own right.
Full cast.
And I said, look, man, you know, I think that we can reach a lot of people. And I think that if we come from our heart and talk about grief kind of in this way, that in an earnest, grounded, but absurd way, that we can reach a lot of people and do a lot of good, you know, in the world. And that was, you know, kind of my motivating factor from the outset. And now we're coming to our season finale. And I stand behind every single episode that we've done. I've never done in this before. Yeah. Never done 18 episodes ever before in my life. My seasons have been anywhere from 9 to 13.
Right.
And so, you know, we end this chapter and say, you know, what I think Wade Felton, this character that I play, needs to say about where he is in his life and what he's learned along the way, and contextualize the experience for all of the players involved, and then on to the next chapter.
On to the next chapter.
Man.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Congratulations on the run. Where do you guys shoot the show?
We shoot it here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes place in North Carolina, but we're on.
You got to stay in town.
Yeah. We got to stay in town. Yeah. And we really kind of talked about that, you know, and I've been on the road, for the better part of 7 years, you know,
so that must've been nice.
You know, I think it was, in some ways, I don't know. The universe said, "Okay, buddy, you know what? You just take a break for a little bit.
Take a little time out.
Yeah, and kind of be home."
Right on.
Yeah.
Let's talk Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
Will Uncle Baby Billy return for season two?
You know, yes, Uncle Baby Billy will be back for season two. And I just got off the phone with Danny yesterday, and I know those guys are going in production here pretty soon. I can't tell you exactly when he will be back.
Okay.
But suffice it to say, he will be back, and I'm looking forward to it, man. It's so outrageous.
It's,
you know,
amazing.
Look, man,
that's the greatest character ever.
The song "Misbehaving" was one of the most iconic moments from the season. Was that song already written into the script, or how did that come about?
Yeah. You know, they did. I mean, they wanted him to you know, to fit into the family dynamic, right? They wanted him to be the brother of the wife of John Goodman, the mother to these children who passed away, and kind of conceived of this kind of childhood kind of clogging singing act, and Danny did that because he knew that I could clog. Right. and I'm not a great singer. So, yeah. You know, luckily, we had, somebody else who could sing much better than I, come in and play my sister and the wife of Eli Gemstone. And we're very happy about how season one kind of ended. And now I think Danny is really blowing this world up and making it bigger than people expect.
The relationship with Danny McBride, because you've worked with him for a few times now, were you guys already friends, or just so happened to be that you worked together and then people obviously responded, so it turned into more projects?
You know, we were acquaintances through friends. Like, you know, that whole group of guys, Jody Hill and David Gordon Green and Danny have been friends for a very long time, and I've known David for a long time.
Okay.
Just through the independent world. But I was a fan of Danny long before I was friends with him. And then we met at a friend's party, and then he said, "Hey man, you know, when I was doing the Hateful Eight, you know, I have this thing that
love that the I Hateful want to do." Eight. You were so great at that.
Thanks,
that was
man.
So good.
Thanks, man. and he said, "I've got, you know, this thing." And I'd come in and I auditioned for Eastbound and Down, and we just had a rapport, you know, and I don't know. I'm sure you feel this way, but there are a number of people in my life that I've desperately wanted to work with, and hoping that there would be chemistry there, and kind of meditated on it for a long time, and Danny was one of them, and I didn't get the role in Eastbound and Down, but it was like a really interesting kind of dynamic, and I thought, oh well, you know. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
And then it came back around, and literally, you know, day one, it was like, man, you're everything that I hoped you would be. And he's more than a friend. He's like a brother to me.
That's awesome. That's cool to hear. Yeah. That's cool to hear. Yeah. Now, coming up in the future, a superhero show from the creator of The Walking Dead called Invincible.
He has a comic book, Invincible, and you know, I've never really done kind of anything in that space, and he asked me to be a part of it. And he's got a great he assembled a great group of actors.
Nice.
So we did that. I'm really, really, really excited about it. It's coming out. These things take a long time,
sure,
don't they?
Sure.
So I guess it's coming out kind of next year sometime.
What about when you're just when you got a little time off, Walton? What do you do with the spare time?
You know, I'm a father.
I
have a 9-year-old, and
okay,
and I love my.
It's fun, isn't it?
Man, it's more than fun, dude. It's my life.
Yeah.
He's my guy.
Yeah.
And we're a pretty tight family, but we get on the road, and I like kind of being out in the world, so we travel quite a bit as a family.
Okay.
And we're gonna take off and go to. Well, I mean, I don't know with the way it is now.
I don't know. Maybe everything's questionable now.
Everything's on the table.
Get some good deals on tickets. I'll tell you.
Maybe just buy flights to everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. Buy tickets that you won't be able to use.
Right, right.
No, we're going to take off and go to Greece this summer.
Fun.
Yeah, for a couple of months and kind of hang out. I'm with him. And,
cool.
And he's into horses.
Nice.
And into
he likes to ride.
He likes to ride. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
I thought for a second, man, he's into betting on them.
Yeah. Do you have kids? Do you have kids?
Yeah, I've got three.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I got three, two boys and a girl.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's great.
It's great.
It's a handful. It only gets better too.
Yeah, that's right.
It only gets better. Oh, Hermione, you'll appreciate this. So my son, one of them is six, and he is a hyper little dude. He's got a little face like a, He he's a sweet little angel, but he's like a little devil. So I got this last from our Catholic school, and it said he got sent to the principal's office for inappropriate behavior, playground behavior. He pushed Lucy and pulled her hair.
What?
What happens is these little girls like him, and they'll go hug him, and he gets mad, and he pushes up. I said, you gotta spank him. I'm like, you can't be pushing girls.
You can't be pushing girls, man. Come on, man.
It just made me laugh.
What's going on?
It was the funniest thing. Anyway.
Pushing and pulling hair.
No. And he looks all nice. Watch. Where is he? Hold on.
There's a photo of him over there.
He likes to dress up, but that's him. See?
Oh, my God.
That's him right there, too.
Oh.
My little girl, she's a little angel, but he's a handful, man. Boys are, damn.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick before you go, Walton. Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Okay. Here we go.
Favorite lyric from Misbehavin'?
Running through the house with a pickle in my mouth.
Yes. Nice. All-time favorite actor?
You know what? Okay, I'm going to answer Bob Duvall. Bobby, Ed Harris.
Love
and,
those guys.
Tony Hopkins and Tommy Lee. You know, that's kind of, and Chris Cooper.
Some
like
serious,
that's more my,
serious
you know,
thespians.
I'm from,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean,
have
I'm
you had
from,
an opportunity to work with Duvall?
I did The Apostle with Bobby when I was 24 years old.
Wow.
You know, and we became really good friends, and he was a real mentor.
Yeah, what a great guy, huh?
Yeah, he's a great man, and so much so that I just did this movie called what's the name of it? A snake handling movie. Oh my God, because I'm on the spot right now.
Sure.
Oh my God,
he's turned it around, asking us. I don't know.
I know.
Because you should know, damn it. We'll come back to it.
Oh my God. No. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm not embarrassed because I'm a dad.
And the coronavirus
just shut down my kids.
Just playing coronavirus.
Whatever. I sent him. We just premiered at Sundance last year, and it just came out in September, October last year, but because of this role that I played, it's with Olivia Coleman and Caitlin Dever and Jim Gaffigan, and it's a fantastic.
That's
film.
Awesome.
And the only person that I really wanted to see it was Bobby, and so you know, I got the go ahead from the producers, and I sent it to him, and you know what he said was. You know, it came full circle for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually had the the pleasure of working with him one time way back. He did a movie called Colors.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course. Are you kidding me?
I was one of the little gangbanger kids.
Wow. Were you really?
He was so nice to me. Yeah. He was so cool. And I'll never forget that. That's cool that you said that.
Is it Them That Follow?
Yeah, Them That Follow.
Them That Follow. Good job, Frazier. Them That Follow.
Can I quickly ask about Fat Man? You're playing Skinny Man in Fat Man?
That sounds awesome.
Dude, it's so awesome. It's so great. It's these brothers, Ian and Esham Nelms out of Texas, and Danny's company, Danny and those guys at Rough House are producing. And it's with Mel Gibson, and Mel plays it's a story about, you know, Santa Claus. And
have you started shooting yet?
Yeah, I just finished it 2 days ago.
Oh, you just finished it. Awesome.
Yeah. And it's a story about it's not your parents' Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, it's not Elf and it's not Bad Santa either. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
And but it will make you believe in Santa in ways that you maybe never thought about believing him. And he, you know, because of kind of how he gets compensated for the toys that he builds, I think I can say that. His business has been in decline because the moral state of kind of our society and the world that we're living in right now. And he winds up giving this very wealthy kid a lump of coal for Christmas. And this kid is very angry with this gift. And even though you see the world from his point of view, you'll have to beat this, but he walks outside and says, holds up this coal and says, "Fuck you, Fat Man." And he hires a hitman to kill Santa Claus. Yeah.
Wait, this movie sounds awesome.
It is so epic.
It is awesome.
I can't wait to see
everything that you didn't know you wanted in a Christmas movie.
Who does Mel
play? So good.
Who does Mel play?
He plays Santa.
Of course he does.
He plays Santa. And then I play this hitman. And it's like, I don't know, like everything that I hope to do. It's dark. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's funny. But it's also, sincere. And it says something about the world in which we live. And that's, you know, that's the other thing that I really look for in most of the decisions that I make.
So. Right.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right, getting back to our quickly. We deviated.
Okay, quiz.
We deviated.
Them That Follow. Them That Follow.
Right.
I'm so sorry. Britt and Dan are going to say, "You asshole."
No, it's fine.
Movie outside of one you've appeared in that you can quote the most?
Oh, God. Wow. Okay, because then you're going to ask me like a quote from the movie. Okay.
I won't follow.
You
know
what?
Really
I mean, there's so many. I mean, I coal miner's daughter, you know.
Okay.
That's the first time we've gotten that one.
Yeah, we got that. Okay.
Yeah.
Big Loretta Lynn fan.
That's a good one. Sissy Spacek.
That's a great one.
Yeah, she's great.
Badlands. I'm kind of like in that.
Yeah.
In that area.
I like that.
I really kind of like movies kind of from that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I mean, I had the poster of Farrah Fawcett, right, and Heather Locklear.
Good taste.
I had them, right there on the wall. And,
okay,
yeah.
Those will work.
Yeah.
Go-to cocktail.
Well, I own a spirits company, mate. So, you know, I own a whiskey, a gin, and a vodka, and we're killing it.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah. We're here.
What's
in
it called?
Angeles. Mulholland Distilling.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. And we're all over the state of California. And so cocktails are cocktails are a big deal to me. I love making them. That's my contribution to an evening, more so than cooking. My wife cooks and I make a cocktail.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. But for me, it's like three chords in the truth, man. It's a spirit. It's a citrus and a little bit of sugar.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite set you worked on?
Ah, God, you know what? They're all, you know, I think any kind of actor worth their weight in salt would say that they're all their favorite, you know, I mean, really, because for different reasons. I've been lucky. I haven't had a bad experience. I think working with Quentin would probably, if you're putting a gun to my head, you know, The Hateful Eight and Django are maybe two of the best experiences of my life just because of him.
Yeah.
And his band of merry kind of gypsies that follow him. It's a real family.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting to be in that company.
I bet. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, you were two of only, he's only done what? Nine films like that. Comedy or drama?
Oh God. I don't think you can have one without the other.
Yeah, really. That's true.
Yeah.
And last one, if you can go anywhere for 1 week, time travel destination, where would you go?
Oh, time travel. Oh, you got to throw in time travel.
Any era.
We can't like, just ask.
No coronavirus. Yeah. No Spanish flu. No.
There could be Spanish flu if you go to the right year.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? And I would probably say this would actually kind of be in that outbreak. I don't know, man. Like, I've traveled a lot in my life and a lot for work, but really a lot on my own. And I've gotten out there, way out there, and have had some experiences that one can only have if you're looking to have those experiences.
Yeah.
But even with all of that, I would say that, you know, I would love to be sitting at a cafe in Paris, with the Lost Generation after World War One. And I'm still, romanticize that because I The Sun Also Rises is one of my favorite novels for a reason.
Yeah.
And I quite like that city and I quite like that time period, on the other side of that kind of loss heading into the Roaring Twenties.
That's a poignant moment, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think people were, reacting to the horrors that they saw,
right,
and living life for the moment, and so I think if that would probably still be the spot.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. For the record, I would go to after coronavirus.
Yeah. Post coronavirus.
Fair enough. Well, everyone, please watch the season finale of The Unicorn tonight on CBS. Walton Goggins, thank you so much,
pleasure,
Matt.
Dude.
You are welcome anytime.
Let's go right here.
Yeah.
Look at that.
On with Mario Lopez.